Diplomacy, the art of hope, even in the most difficult circumstances. That was Pope Benedict's message to members of the diplomatic corps gathered in the Vatican on Monday for the traditional exchange of New Year's greetings. 176 nations currently have diplomatic relations with the Holy See, together with a number of special offices for the European Community, the Russian Federation and the Palestinian Authority. The most recent country to establish relations with the Vatican last year was the United Arab Emirates. But in his address, Pope Benedict also reached out to those peoples who still have no such ties with the Holy See, saying they too have a place in his heart.
La préoccupation de la communauté internationale continue à être vive pour le Moyen-Orient.
Speaking to the diplomats in French, Pope Benedict focused on areas of concern around the world, beginning with the Middle East, where he urged Israelis and Palestinians to work for the implementation of commitments made at the recent Annapolis Peace Conference. He urged the international community to give strong support to both these peoples and to understand their respective sufferings and fears as they seek a solution that respects the rights of all in the troubled region.
Comment ne pas être proche du Liban dans les épreuves et les violences qui continuent à secouer ce cher pays?
Elsewhere in the Middle East, Pope Benedict spoke of the need for dialogue and reconciliation in Lebanon, where he urged political leaders to put aside particular interests and pledge themselves to the path of peace and stability. In Iraq, too, he called for reconciliation and appropriate constitutional reforms to safeguard the rights of minorities, including the Christian community. The international community, the Pope said, must be generous in its aid to the refugees and displaced people fleeing the violence, as well as to those host countries trying to provide for their needs. Pope Benedict also expressed his support for efforts to resolve the issue of Iran's nuclear program, calling for measures which increase mutual trust and promote the common good of the whole human family.
Élargissons notre regard à tous les continents asiatiques. Je voudrais attirer votre attention sur quelques autres situations de crise. Sur le Pakistan, en premier lieu.
Turning his thoughts towards Asia, Pope Benedict spoke of the current crises in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Sri Lanka and Myanmar, urging an end to violence and the construction of a new era of peace and respect for the rights and freedoms of all people in the region.
Me tournons maintenant vers l'Afrique. Je voudrais en premier lieu redire ma profonde souffrance en constatant combien l'espérance semble presque vaincue par le sinistre cortège de faim et de mort qui se poursuit au Darfour.
In Africa, Pope Benedict reiterated his deep anguish over the menacing sequence of hunger and death that continues to unfold in Darfur. He prayed that the joint UN-African Union force will bring aid and comfort to the suffering populations in that war-torn region of Sudan. Elsewhere in Africa, he urged greater efforts to promote lasting peace in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in the Somali capital of Mogadishu, and in Kenya, where the bishops have appealed for an end to the recent outbreak of violence. This year, the Pope noted, Ethiopia is marking the start of the third Christian millennium, an event which will focus on the immense social and apostolic work that Christians carry out across the continent of Africa, promoting reconciliation, justice and peace.
L'accueil chaleureux des Brésiliens est encore vibrant dans mon cœur. Dans ce pays, j'ai eu la joie de rencontrer les représentants de la grande famille de l'Église en Amérique latine et dans les Caraïbes.
In Latin America, Pope Benedict recalled his recent visit to Brazil, where he met with church leaders from right across the continent. In the economic and social sphere, the Pope noted what he termed eloquent signs of hope for this continent, urging increased cooperation between countries, the resolution of internal conflicts, and a consensus on gospel values as the basis of a just society. Recalling devastating natural disasters which have struck Mexico and Central America recently, as well as countries of Africa, Asia and Oceania, Pope Benedict underlined the importance of joint efforts to alleviate such suffering. Quoting from his recent encyclical Spes Salvi, he said the true measure of humanity is essentially determined in relationship to suffering and to the sufferer.
Terminant par l'Europe, je me réjouis des progrès accomplis dans différents pays de la région des Balkans.
Turning his attention to Europe, Pope Benedict noted the progress that has been made in the Balkans, and he called for a solution to the crisis that has gone on for too long on the divided island of Cyprus. He told the gathered diplomats that he is following attentively the new phase of European development begun with the signing of the Treaty of Lisbon. In concluding his address, Pope Benedict stressed that security and stability in our world still seem fragile, highlighting the fact that peace and freedom must be solidly anchored in the natural law given by God the Creator to be shared among all peoples. This conviction, he said, gives direction to all the Holy See's efforts to promote intercultural and interreligious dialogue. Recalling with pleasure the recent letter from 138 Muslim leaders, the Pope said the Holy See attaches particular importance to its participation in high-level dialogue to promote understanding, cooperation and peace. The exercise of religious freedom, he stressed, must be universally respected, and the integrity of the family as the basic cell of society must be defended.
Je ne peux pas ne pas déplorer une fois encore les attaques continuelles perpétrées sur tous les continents contre la vie humaine.
Deploring once again the continual attacks perpetrated against human life, Pope Benedict stressed that the new frontiers in bioethics do not require us to choose between science and morality. Rather, they oblige us to a moral use of science.
Un usage moral de la science.
Applauding the recent UN resolution calling for a moratorium on the use of the death penalty, Pope Benedict said he hoped this initiative will lead to a public debate on the sacredness of human life. Finally, the Pope noted that peace is a commitment and a manner of life which must satisfy the legitimate aspirations of all people, guaranteeing access to food, water, medical technology and security in a world free from nuclear proliferation or other weapons of war and destruction.
It is a unique event. It reflects the sort of uniquely old school, traditional, collegial diplomacy that the Holy See practices and that we practice here with the Holy See. I mean, maybe it's because of the nature of the issues that most countries deal with the Holy See about, very high level issues of human dignity, freedom, ameliorating poverty and the like. That there's a bit of a collegiality and a less of rivalry and competition among members of the diplomatic corps here. And of course, this forum, the way the Holy Father orchestrates it, is certainly conducive to setting that climate.
Among the diplomats gathered for this meeting on Monday was American Ambassador to the Holy See, Francis Rooney. He was particularly pleased to note Pope Benedict's support at the start of his address for a solution to the problems of the Holy Land based on the outcome of the recent peace conference in Annapolis in the United States.
I think it's great that, given the fact that President convened the Annapolis meeting and the Holy See was included at the request of the United States of America, and now he's going personally to the Middle East, that the Holy Father would have kind of started, like you say, virtually started his discourse with Israel and Palestine. And the fact that he supported the concept of Annapolis as an abandonment of partisan and unilateral approaches, and he called for a truly global solution that respects the rights of legitimate rights of all the different constituent parties. That is wonderful to hear. I think that goes hand in hand with what was trying to be achieved in Annapolis by having a lot of countries participate that have been reluctant participants in the past, and to recognize the need for a legitimate Palestinian state which doesn't threaten the peace and security of Israel at the same time.
U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, Francis Rooney. Another participant at Monday's meeting with the diplomatic corps was Ambassador Tu Shushen of the Republic of China. He was extremely encouraged by Pope Benedict's message of hope to all those working for peace and justice within the family of nations.
As a world leader, he addressed the different issues faced by this world and expressed the position, expressed the love for peace, for justice, for the countries in less privileged positions, expressed his concern for the whole mankind, for the human rights, for the fundamental freedoms. I think that it's very encouraging to listen, to be able to listen to Pope's speech, and Pope mentioning in his speech that we should never lose the hope, because through the dialogue, through the peace process, peace would be attained one day. So I think as a diplomat, it's really a unique occasion for us to be able to be present and listen carefully every word pronounced by His Holiness.
At the end of his speech, Pope Benedict said that diplomacy, saying that to all the representatives of the whole of the world community, that diplomacy is the art of hope.
Ambassador Jean-François Camer is Switzerland's representative to the Holy See. He too was especially impressed by Pope Benedict's emphasis on hope as the goal to which all diplomats and indeed all governments must aspire.
This is probably also a very encouraging way to describe what diplomats should do, and that means also what the governments should do to hope for a better world. But this is not just words. I think he stressed during his whole speech how important it is to respect the other. Making an overview on the whole situation of the world of today, he addressed all the different conflicts, starting even in Europe, hoping, of course, that the situation in the Balkans would be settled soon in the best possible way for all parties involved, and then addressing especially the Middle East, appealing to all the parties in the Middle East to make concrete steps forward in order to alleviate the suffering of the people, the individuals living in this region of the world, appealing also to the Lebanese people to facilitate the solution to the actual political crisis, addressing also the situation in Iraq, where still the majority of the people have to suffer under the present situation, and addressing of course, also in each situation, the terrible situation of the Christian community. And so he went to Africa. Also, he appealed to the parties involved in the Darfur crisis to at the end also do all what is really possible to alleviate the suffering of the people. I mean, it was in that sense an extremely encouraging speech. Not condemning anyone, but just appealing to the responsibility of the governments to do their utmost in order to contribute to a better world. And especially there, I think he mentioned in each part of his speech the necessity to respect fully the other, and that means also to respect the minorities in each region of the world, in each country, in each conflict situation, the necessity to respect the minorities. And I think ending his speech again with his appeal to the diplomat to be not resignated in front of a difficult situation or of a suffering, but to continue to work in favor of a better world, and not to abandon the hope, was, I think, a very strong message.
And our thanks there to Ambassador Jean-François Kammer of Switzerland, Ambassador Tu Shu-shen of the Republic of China, and Ambassador Francis Rooney of the United States for sharing their impressions of Monday's meeting with us.